Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes. No.
No?
Sir? It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not right now.
No, it's not fun anymore. Not even a little bit.
Just look at that. He hit the fucking ball. Guy gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm having a blast. Thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast, brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo. Great episode on tap today. We are covering Over the Top, the premier movie for arm wrestling truckers, counting this one as a sports movie. Returning to the pod, my buddy Mike Camerlengo. It has been a long time since Mike has been on the pod. He joined us previously to cover Bloodsport, to cover Rookie of the Year, a movie that stinks. By the way, if you weren't aware, my takes on Rookie of the Year. But yeah, Mike returns to cover Over the Top, and we have a patron to thank for that. My guy Patty Houlihan, who's a member of the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, he tweeted at me and Mike about covering Over the Top. I think Mike did a video on it or something of that nature, and so we linked up again, covered this one. This movie is first ballot. Unintentional Comedy Hall of Famer. We're going to get into it. A lot of Stallone, Robert Loggia. Just a great movie to discuss, even if it is not the best movie to watch. Big thanks to Patty for setting that up, and big thanks to all of our Big Screen Sports Patreon members, especially our producer-level patrons. That is Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Yeager, Mike Dries, and James Kowaluski. If you go to patreon.com/bigscreensports, you can support the show. You get episode notes, you get scheduling updates, you get to vote on movies and patrons' choice topics covered by the podcast, the poll for the November movie, that is up now. Pick us out a winner, because I would love to cover a great movie. So yeah, great reasons to join the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, along with just supporting the show, keeping this engine going. Really appreciate everyone who has joined. As you know, we this week on Thursday, the Ted Lasso season 2 finale. That'll be a great episode. Some special guests for that one. Wrapping it up with my co-host Alex McDaniel, and then we'll follow up later in the month. We'll do maybe an S2, AMA, or maybe throw out some S3 predictions, something like that, something of that sort. We will wrap the season in a whole. At some point later in the month, might leave that up to the patrons as far as what they want. But again, if you're, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast, rate, leave a review. You folks know the drill. Sports movies coming at you every Monday. Ted Lasso-centric stuff coming at you on Thursdays, although that's wrapping up. For now, let's get to Over the Top with my buddy Mike Camerlengo. All right, joining me today, returning to the podcast after a long time away, the always funny creator of 60 Second Classics, Mike Camerlengo. Mike, welcome back to Big Screen Sports.
Kyle, how's it going, man?
It's going great, man. I'm glad to have you back. It has been a hot minute.
Did we do Rookie of the Year?
We did Rookie of the Year, a movie that I talk a gang of shit about all the time. And get a bunch of hate for.
Well, I'm with you, though. I think you're on the train that Little Big League is the movie everyone should be talking about. And I agree. And I don't know why even in my head, I'm like, Rookie of the Year. Yeah, it's a good movie, and it's not. It's a bad movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a, I mean, we have the nostalgia for it. We grew up with it.
Right.
Like, Little Big League is still good. Rookie of the Year is dog shit. And then we also did Bloodsport, which is, that's a perfect movie for me.
Yes, yes. Bloodsport's great. And, Little Big League is more realistic, though. Rookie of the Year can't happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Little Big League, like, we see nepotism happen all the time. Like, if feasibly, like, a kid could, you know, a kid can name himself manager.
Exactly.
We could see that happen. But tell the folks, what have you been up to? Where can they catch what you're doing?
You can follow me on Twitter at @mcamerlingo. I usually just post videos there that I think of the night before, and then I scramble to make it so I can get dopamine hits to my brain for one day. But you can find all my videos at 60secondclassics.com. I think I have 120 now. I started doing this as like a fun way to show off like my writing. I was like, oh, maybe this will help me get a job. And now it's turned into like a full-time thing that it does not pay. So I just, you know, it's for the love of the game, but
just like podcasting. You
know, it's the same thing as podcasting.
For the love
it's
of the game. Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, yeah. Everyone check out Mike's videos.
Yeah. And if you're a listener and you're like, oh, this guy's funny, maybe he could like write this like for this job, like send it to your boss, please, or something. Cause you know what? I had someone recently, it was like an anonymous person. Someone goes, oh, someone sent me your website and it led to like a writing gig. So yeah, that's the whole point, guys. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Send Mike to your boss.
I'll give you a referral fee. It's like signing up for a gym. 10%, baby.
no enrollment fee on that.
No.
For booking Mike. Mike, do you have a video on Over the Top?
I do. Yes.
That's going to be in the show notes then.
Over the Top in 60 seconds. So I went through and I summed up the movie. I think I did it about a year ago. I reposted it recently and someone was like, oh, a fan of your show is like, hey, you should go on and talk about it. And I was like, yeah, I messaged you. I go, yeah, I want to do that if you're into it.
Yeah. Shout out to Patty Houlihan for making this happen, reconnecting me and Mike on this one. I would say that 60 seconds is a far better use of your time than the 93 minutes this movie is today. We are talking about Over the Top, the 1987 arm wrestling drama. Can't believe I just said those words. Tough trucker Lincoln Hawk is determined to win back his son and triumph at the World Arm Wrestling Championships. Starred Sylvester Stallone, David Mendenhall, and Robert Loggia. Somehow has 32% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like at least 28% higher than I would have thought that this movie would have brought to the table.
You're wrong. This movie's awesome.
I mean, so objectively, so I mean, it's on the run sheet, you know, is this movie a Hall of Fame, all-star, starter, or bench warmer sports film? I think we can agree that as a sports film, as an arm wrestling film, this is a bench warmer. Is this in the unintentional comedy Hall of Fame? Is this like on the unintentional comedy Mount Rushmore?
I think it's about if you watched it. So for some reason, I think it's because I saw it when I was younger. I have some like nostalgic like feelings about this movie. If I had never seen this before and I watched it, I would go, what the fuck is this? But I watch it, I go, oh yeah, this is where he does this. This is where he does that. So, you know, there are some great like moments that, and I want to talk about that in my favorite quotes moments. Like, I'm not sure certain scenes if they're supposed to be funny or not.
I don't think any of these scenes are supposed to be funny. This movie is taking itself really seriously, which makes it even funnier.
The funniest part of the movie is where I laugh every time is where he's making his son arm wrestle. And the other kid goes, if I lose to you, I'd kill myself. And the way he says it, he's such a great like 80s bully. And I don't know. I don't know if that in the script is supposed to be like, oh, he's really intimidating, but I just die laughing every time I hear it.
I mean, as a serious movie, this one is so half-baked and not well thought out. Like this movie got taken out of the oven halfway. This needed to cook for like 4 hours and they took it out of the oven after 30 minutes. It was like, fuck it. It's Thanksgiving. We got to eat this. let's go put it on the table.
Well, okay. So are we talking about the plot here? Because
yeah, we're talking about the actual movie as it is structured and intended, not a laugh fest.
Yeah, I don't really. Some of the parts don't really make sense, right? Like, is it ever explained why Lincoln Hawk isn't in his kid's life?
So let's roll into the big question.
Yeah,
is Lincoln Hawk the bad guy in this movie? Is he the villain?
Well, it's interesting you said that because Robert Loggia, the grandfather, is supposed to be. But I wrote down Robert Loggia is actually a good guy because spoiler at the end, they hold on his face, and he doesn't have to, there's no lines or anything, but he's a great actor, by the way. But he does, like, you see like this transformation where you see in his eyes that he knows that Lincoln Hawk can be a dad now, right? So he, but so the whole point was he wasn't just going to hand the grandson over to any old guy. You know, he's like, I've been taking care of this kid for 12 years while Lincoln Hawk is, you know, giving HJs and fucking arm wrestling people in truck stops. Like, what's Lincoln doing? Where is he the whole life? He wrote that's letters. Oh, big deal, Lincoln.
But that's the thing. You think he avoids the question. Lincoln avoids the question the first time Mike asks him, the first couple of times. And he's like, you know, whatever. You think it's going to be this big thing, like this almost like honorable thing of why he had to dip out. And he's just like, no, man, you were a shitty father-in-law. So I just dipped and didn't see my kid for 12 years. Like,
right.
No, that's not how this works. We're not going to root for you after that. That's just like, Lincoln Hawk is just a straight up deadbeat dad. Like that's what he is. And he comes in. I think Cutler being like, okay, he can be a dad now is the really one of the only missteps Cutler makes. Like I'm kind of on team Cutler. Like he raised him. He paid for all this shit. Like they at least need to figure out some sort of custody arrangement here.
And he gives him a great deal. He offers him 500 grand.
Incredible deal.
And his own rig. And he's like, you just got to go back to being you know, doing whatever you're doing beforehand. So why does Lincoln Hawk come back into the picture? Is it because the wife is dying?
I think it's because the wife is dying. Like the wife calls him and is like, hey, you need to come back in your kid's life. But like, is like, for me, I'm thinking like, okay, let's get Lincoln. Like if he really wants to come back and get involved, okay, get a little townhouse near the Cutler estate, start doing some approved visitation, yeah. Take the kid out to the movies every now and then. Like, I don't think, cause like, at the end of this movie, you know, we think we have this great, you know, this great ending. Lincoln wins all this money in this truck or whatever. But like, does he even have an apartment? It seems like he lives in the truck. Like this kid needs structure. He needs to go to school. He needs to see friends. Like what? Lincoln's just probably just going to drop him back off at the military academy and be like, all right, I'll see you in 5 months.
Yeah, it's going to last like a week. There's a great scene where he's asking the kid to come with him. And Michael's like, where would we live? Like, I want to say yes, but where would we live? And Lincoln's like, you know, like I'll figure something out. Does Lincoln not have a home? Like,
yeah, no offense, what do you think home? Lincoln's situation? Like, what is his on the ground living situation?
I think, where does this take place? But I know it's like a lot of it is in Vegas, but like
some California, I think Cutler, doesn't Cutler live in California, like LA or something?
Yeah, probably. I think Lincoln Hawk has like a room in like a motel. Yeah, he has a motel.
And, oh, hey, yeah, he's you know a great mean? Candidate for that.
Yeah, and you know, people knock on the door. They try to get him to fix stuff, and he's like, you know, I'm not the guy, right? But he does it anyway because he's a nice enough guy. And they're like, oh, are you ever going to have kids, Lincoln? And he's like, someday, because he's afraid to tell them that he does have a kid.
Yeah, no, he doesn't tell anyone that he has a kid. And like people, that's the one thing. People, anyone who looks in his truck, he's like, yeah, you know, I see him on, he starts lying, you know, like, oh, yeah. I see him on holidays and, you know, I write him these letters. Right. We've got a good, you know, it lives with his mom, goes to a great school and stuff, but we're still close. And then like, he cries when those people leave.
I mean, is he dating? I mean, he's a good looking guy here. I feel like still, I was watching this with my wife. I go, is Stallone like pretty good looking right here? She kind of was like, not really, but I was like, what, how dare you?
I said to my wife, is this the hottest Stallone? I feel like this is the hottest Stallone.
But in the movie I said hey, is Stallone hot right here? And she said no, but I feel like this is his best version.
My wife also said no, but it like the same thing. Yeah, I think this is the peak because he doesn't have that like Cobra, he's glistening in baby oil, like steroid look where he's the guy if you see him at the gym, you're uncomfy. I think he's just coming down normal.
He's just coming down from his Rocky IV steroid cycle. Like he's getting a little more, although his arms are really greased up in the arm wrestling scenes.
They're yeah,
like,
a lot of baby oil in the arm wrestling. A lot of baby scenes. Oil.
But yeah, he's like fucking ripped, but you know, like not abnormally so.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna harp on some Lincoln Hawk stuff here in a little bit because there's a lot to this movie. I feel like it was fixable. I feel like I say often sometimes like you know, the foundation was here for a good movie. If it was a house, like we got the frame and something, we just didn't get things right. Like there's like a nice, like they framed up one room kind of well, like there's something that could work here. And then they hired a new contractor and things just went by the wayside. So a couple funny points of IMDb trivia, some things I wanted to touch on. Years later, Stallone explained why he agreed to appear in the movie. Quote, I'm not going to pronounce this guy's first name, but his last name. Golan kept offering me more and more money until I finally thought, what the hell? No one will see it. This movie is streaming on Prime now. Everyone can see it. John Bresnik, the real-life arm wrestler who inspired the Lincoln Hawk character, won the truckers class of the actual over-the-top tournament and won the Volvo white truck and Trail Mobile trailer that were in the tournament, or that were the grand prize in the movie. It was worth about $250,000. Bresnik then took the truck on tour across the country to promote the film. He later sold it and bought a 1987 Corvette with some of the money. So on the subject of that over-the-top tournament, a real-life over-the-top arm wrestling tournament was created once the movie was approved for production. Organizers worked closely with the producers at Cannon Films in hosting the tournament. While the film was being made, the contest was described as the biggest event in arm wrestling history. I ask this, I bring this up because, like, when I was watching this movie, I would love to go to Vegas. This would be a very fun activity to go watch in Vegas, I feel like.
So I had a question, though. Like, is the arm wrestling tournament just for truckers? Do you have to be a trucker?
I think there's a truckers division. Well, because Bull, our friend Bull, is a member of the Las Vegas jail security team.
Okay.
So there's probably like a prison guards and like a cops. It's kind of like the tournament in dodgeball. They have like the Las Vegas PD and stuff like that. So there's probably, I would guess, like there's the truckers division. You've got police department, probably a bouncers division.
Because they say he's from the independent truckers division.
Yeah.
And you think you would have got maybe some sponsorship from Brute? I mean, they're that was the truck he was driving, I think, Brute, right?
Yeah.
So, but I feel like Lincoln wasn't telling his bosses that he was into this shit anyway. You know?
No, absolutely not. Would you go see if they were like, this probably isn't something that you would fly to Vegas for, like specifically just for this, but like, say you're in Vegas on a bachelor party, you got a weekend there, you're trying to find something else to do besides, like, you've already lost your ass like first night, you don't want to sit by the pool all day and buy like $18 cocktails, and someone's like, the over-the-top arm wrestling tournament is here, like I'm sold. I actually think that would be very, very fun.
Yeah, I would go for at least like an hour. I have a friend that I went to high school with, started like doing these like tournaments, like arm wrestling tournaments. He would send me videos and they would be, it would look more like the first, like when he's in like the truck stop, it'd be like these random places and they're fucking hilarious. He's like going, ah! And he was great. He like won every, maybe just the ones he sent me, but he was like, it was amazing. So yes, I think going to that would be hilarious and fun to watch.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. And it's like, it's not something, it's like it's like a sporting event, but like, it's not very complicated. It's very, very simple. I think it just in the instant winner loser, like I'd be a big fan of that.
I mean, that's a perfect thing to put on, like without sound at a bar, just like, you know, throw it up on and you're just like having a drink and you're just watching it.
Like, also seems like a super fun thing to gamble on, but like not high stakes, but you're like, look at that fucking
just
guy.
Like he, like $10 on that guy right there.
it'd be amazing. Like I'm all in. Last piece of IMDb trivia. Actor Don Johnson was originally envisioned for the film before Cannon made the choice of focusing on star power. They chose to cast Sylvester Stallone instead for the lead role of Lincoln
Hawk.
Don
Johnson as Lincoln Hawk? I can't.
So I love Don Johnson. I think Don Johnson is fucking hilarious. I think he's a much better actor than Sylvester Stallone. But like, Don Johnson doesn't strike me as a guy who can walk into a truck stop and win an arm wrestling match.
Even Stallone, though, like he, as jacked as he was in this movie, everybody he went up against was much bigger than him.
Oh yeah, he was the smallest dude arm wrestling.
Smallest dude. Like when he's wrestling these guys, you're like, oh, Stallone's jacked, but I don't know if he would win this, because, which I guess is good because he's supposed to be an underdog.
But if you like, if you saw Stallone arm wrestling Don Johnson, you probably, what, like 30-1 odds that Don Johnson could beat Stallone. It's a long shot.
All I can picture when I hear Don Johnson is like his Miami Vice white jacket. Like
which is, I think, the era we're in. right now. Like, it's I think Miami Vice is going on right now. Like, I don't know if that's your Lincoln Hawk.
No, that's I think he could pull off a version, like a character. I think it would probably be a little more wink and a nod. Cause he's like more charming anyway. That's what I mean. But I just don't know about his arms. Like, does he have the mass to pull it off?
That's I don't think so.
Look up Don Johnson. Don Johnson arms.
Yeah. What do we got?
Dude, I mean,
going here.
I mean, look, he's got the hair for it, but
the hair is great. The Don Johnson hair is great.
I don't see it. I see Don Johnson. It's more like a poker movie. I could see Don Johnson in Rounders. You know what I mean? But over the top.
Fuck yeah.
No.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They would have had to shift what the underground game was in this one. Like, it could have been poker. If it's Don Johnson, could have been like darts. Like, he's a high stakes dart player.
As dumb as this movie is, I think Stallone is perfectly cast, and I can't imagine anyone else in it. I mean, who else? Yeah. Like you said, that time, what is this? 87 or 83?
87.
87. I mean, that's like a little before. Well, you could do like Van Damme.
Van Damme would be hilarious because Van Damme with like his accent and everything, and like Mike is just this like plain American kid.
And I just tried to do a Van Damme accent in my head. I couldn't pull it off. I've written you letters. No, that's not it. My wife told me the other day, she goes, impressions aren't your strong suit. I'm like, I know, I'm just fucking around. Like, I'm not, can't have any fun around this house anymore. Jesus.
I know. See, I'll do all these bad impressions in front of my wife and she just like roll her eyes in the back of her head. But I won't when I'm recording. Absolutely not. No one's hearing any of my impressions. Let's get into the best scene in this one. Best doing a lot of work, really. I like Hawk versus Smasher. The first arm wrestle at a truck stop when he brings him to the truck stop.
Well, we can go to McDonald's. You Hawk? Man, I said, are you Hawk? What can I do for you? I'm the Smasher. It's a nice name. Now, all I've been hearing on the road lately is this Hawk is a man to beat. I can't believe everything you hear. I don't believe anything. I got 1,000 that says I could tear your arm off. You want it?
Yeah. Go on.
He's trying to back out. I said, you want it? Why not? All right, let's get this table ready. Let's go. Come on. I want to show this guy something. Come on, break his arm off.
Is he going to fight that guy? That's a guy who looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter, kind of.
Yeah.
He's got
like
the blonde hair. See, we'll talk about this later on, like when we get to like a remake or whatever. But I liked the truck stop scene, and I wish there was more of them.
Yeah,
even just like a montage of him just like training for the thing, bump a dump, you know, like a Rocky IV type thing. Just him, but it's just like one fun truck stop scene, and then it's it. And a ton of fucking kidnappings of Michael, like that. They're just trying to snap. Terry Funk is trying to snatch that kid up all movie. So.
Yeah, this movie is so uneven. And like you think there's really there's the one arm wrestling scene, like this one against Smasher where he beats Smasher. And so you're like, okay, like he's pretty good at this. And then like they mentioned Vegas and it's like, okay, Vegas is a thing. And then it's like no arm wrestling for another hour.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
It's not a lot of build. It's a weird, it jumps around. You know, when they shoot movies, it's like they, you know, depending on schedules and stuff, they'll shoot scenes out of order, you know, whatever. This one felt like that. This one felt like they just like shot a scene and they're like 2 weeks later, they're like, yeah, let's shoot the scene before that now. And it's like, people have different haircuts. It's like, just, it just feels so different.
And at the end, they got to like the editing room, they got to the bay and they're like about to put it all together. And the two guys doing it, just look at each other and like, oh fuck, we didn't plan this out at all.
You know what holds the movie together? And those editors probably knew that. Kenny Loggins.
That's my next one. The montage, the Meet Me Halfway song is fucking incredible.
I think they use it 3 times.
Yeah.
I, I don't know. Maybe it's because, again, I saw this when I was like 10 and I have like some weird nostalgia thing to it. I'm like, yeah, this movie's pretty okay. they're doing like calisthenics on the side of the road.
And he's got the pull down machine and the weights. Yeah, the Bowflex, dude.
Yeah.
It's so Lincoln funny. Hawk probably looks like a serial masturbator because he's just working out that right arm constantly. And like, you don't see that left get any work.
It's so funny too, when you get to, when they get to the hospital, because they're like taking their sweet ass time. Like they're not driving like, you know, Michael's mom's on her deathbed. So a little speed, Lincoln, wouldn't hurt.
That's the thing. Like, it's supposed to be this monumental thing. Like, I just like this movie. I don't think that Lincoln reuniting with the son is well thought out, because one, the mom doesn't prep the kid at all. And then even by the time we get to this montage, they haven't had a conversation with any substance in it, really. Like, they're just like, he's like, oh, arm wrestle. Like, you're all right, guy. Like, now we're buddies. And then it's like, instead of, okay, I've been gone 12 years. I'm really going to make this time with my kid count. We're going to go do some stuff he likes. We're going to go to the movies. I'm going to take him to a cool town. Like, I'm going to make this about him. It's like, yeah, I got to drive this truck and I guess you can hang out. Then eventually we'll go see your dying mom, but not too soon. I got to make some stops and stuff. Like,
but first, you're going to challenge this fucking kid to an arm wrestling match. Yeah. I mean, it almost came as a shock when the mom dies, because you're like, what? Like, I didn't even know that was going to happen. Like, why are they taking their sweet ass time?
Yeah, it's bad. The arm wrestling thing, when he challenges the kid to the arm wrestling match, is kind of like it's kind of like Varsity Blues when the dads force Paul Walker and
throw the thing off there.
To throw the football. It's like he's just like forcing him to do this thing, and he really doesn't want to do.
When I always remember the drunk like mom and that, and they go to slow motion. She's like, throw it, Johnny. Like, it's like,
you can do it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, that Christ. Great. Christ.
It was, you know, the mom too, you know, RIP to the character, that was the funniest. Like, she was so obviously like movie dying.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, they're like, be really tired. She's like, I'm dying. I'm tired. I mean, I don't know. Well, that's, I don't want to nitpick this awesome movie,
which,
by the way, I watched it on YouTube for free. 6,000, there was 79,000 likes and 6,000 people disliked this. So, you know what? When I get down on people disliking my material, I'm just going to remember that this awesome ass movie had 6,000 people say it sucked.
And this movie made millions of dollars.
Yeah, people are idiots. This movie's awesome.
The next one I've got, when Hawk rams his truck through the gate he's trying to get Mike back, and like, they won't let him through the gate. And it's like, you know, it's whatever. Like, I don't think Hawk has a great understanding of how the child custody system works. I don't understand how he thinks that this gives him a better case. He's just like, no, I'm not going to enlist a lawyer who would then take the wife's will and see that, like, oh, she wanted me to have the child. I'm the child's biological father. I got at least a good claim for some partial custody. Hawk is like, no, you know what? I'm going to take my 18-wheeler and not only ram it through the gate, I'm going to run it into his fucking house, and then I'm going to get arrested. And this is how I'm going to be reunited with my son.
Plus, Cutler's a good guy. Like, Michael's not in danger. He's sleeping in, like, you know, a double extra king bed, whatever it's called. A California king. He's like living the high life. So it's not like he has to get him back right now or else. It's like, dude, you know where Cutler lives. Find a lawyer in the yellow pages or the white pages, whatever pages you can find a lawyer. And go through the proper channels.
Yeah. And then he just signs away custody after he's in jail, because they're like, yeah, you're facing a lot of time here. It's like, he's just Joe Bluth sitting there like, oh, I've made a terrible mistake.
I don't get the whole, like, later in the movie, then he signs away the custody and then he's like, no, I'm not abiding by it. And it's like, you have to, like,
yeah, that's how that works. Like, you're gonna have to, I mean, you can use all that money you just won and go back to court, but like, Cutler, like, that's the thing, Cutler is not giving this kid up. There's just no fucking way.
I still think Lincoln Hawk should have took the 500 grand from Cutler, got his own truck, started his own thing, and visit the kid in a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, this in reality, if the, I mean, listen, the mom was on her deathbed, she might not have been thinking clearly, but like the way to do this is like, okay, Cutler and Lincoln don't like each other. Lincoln's been gone for 12 years. Like he probably shouldn't raise his kid anyway. Like let's set this up. Let's slowly but surely have some osmosis here, build a relationship. Like Cutler and Lincoln just going to have to get along. And it's just, I don't think anyone, that's the thing. I don't think anyone in this movie understands how custody and child rearing works. Just a, this think, movie was not written by dads. It seems like,
I think you're right in a sense. It's just so like slapped together. Like there's like an initial conflict and then they do one thing and then they're ready to live together. It's like, yeah, have a scene where they're like talking about the birds and the bees and they're playing catch or something. Have a scene where he's like, where the viewer is actually like, oh, it would be better if he's with this kid. And this movie ended, I swear to God, I go, wait, he's going to go with him? Like, I was like, I was happy Lincoln Hawk won. But, you know, yeah, like you said, maybe he could start with getting weekends. Maybe he could work for Cutler. Cutler seems like he could use another bodyguard.
That would have been the thing. I mean, we're stepping on how to improve it a little bit, but it's like Lincoln Hawk wins. And then it's like, you know what? I'm going to take this money and I'm going to buy myself a nice townhouse near the Cutler Manor. And we're going to grow together as a family. Like there we go. Like,
well, Cutler hates his guts though. And they, I mean, do we think they see each other ever? Is he like, hey, let's go over to your grandfather's today.
Yeah. Well, the thing is Cutler's not giving that kid up. Like he's going to, there's no way. Like he might be like, yeah, you know, he's walking away with him right now, but this is, that, you know,
he's going to monitor the situation.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We need to talk about, so the arm wrestling competition, we need to talk about Mike somehow hopping a flight to Vegas as a 12-year-old. Like I understand, listen, I didn't fly much pre 9/11, so I don't really know what things were like back then, but
you could just go get on a plane. I think
at 12 years old. And like, they, like, how does he even make it to the airport? Like they've got his plates. Like they would have called the airport. And then he somehow makes, I mean, it's fucking incredible.
So what do we think he does? So he runs into the airport and that's when we last see him until he arrives in Vegas, right?
Yeah. And so does he have a bunch of cash?
That's what I'm saying. Does he buy a ticket or does he sweet talk his way out of the plane?
I feel like he's too old.
He's too old to just be like, can I please like get on the plane? Like he's not like six.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen him earlier in the movie. Like he's very like pretentious and snotty, like especially early in the movie. Like you could definitely see that kid being like, I'll have a one way to Vegas, please.
Yeah he's calling like Sly, he calls him sir and shit.
Yeah, and I feel bad with the child actor because he didn't really have the best script to work with. And like that's okay, that's one thing actually we'll get into it about one thing that didn't work, because I've got a real bone to pick with people. So basically the rest of the movie is kind of the all the arm wrestling scenes. Like they roll out a bunch of real life arm wrestlers for it.
Yeah,
we get all that stuff. Like that's a lot, you know, the arm wrestling thing, even though it's kind of random because we haven't arm wrestled in 60 minutes, is like, fuck it, let's have 20 minutes of this arm wrestling competition. Like I'm honestly kind of here for all of that. I thought it was,
it could have been longer, it could have been 45 minutes. Like I thought the arm wrestling scenes were great. The whole ending was great. Except for when they like turn it into the office for like 5 minutes, like when they are just like talking directly to the camera, it's like the weirdest fucking scene in the world. And I feel like that's something where they just didn't have enough footage.
Yeah.
And they're like,
hey guys, we need you guys to come back. We got to film some stuff.
We told Kenny Loggins would play 19 minutes of his music and we only have 17 minutes. I really feel that feels like something that was shot afterwards. And like, it's just so, so random. And, but you get some of the best, we can talk about it in the quote section, but you got a great quote out of it, but it's just really weird.
Do you think they showed Loggins the movie before he wrote the song, or they were like, we just need you to write a song about meeting in the middle?
That's a good one. Or did the song just like inspire the movie? You know, like they're like, hey, they're like, Kenny Loggins gave him the song and they're like, all right, we know the perfect driving montage to go to this. I think Kenny Loggins probably watched the movie and he's like, here, here, and here, you know? This is where you put this song. You're welcome. You're welcome. And what do you say to Kenny Loggins?
80s. Yeah. 80s movie music legend. Like the soundtrack to our hearts in the 80s. So what is the best scene in this one for you?
I liked the one. Oh, that was the one you said, but the one, the truck stop scene, I love. I like the, hold on, dude, I wrote this down somewhere. After he drives the thing, I like when he's, this is like pretty random. I like when he's arguing with Robert Loggia about like if his kid can go with him. There's like a weird, like I saw this movie a bunch when I was younger, and I had an older brother, and we always would quote it, or we thought we were quoting it. We would always say Jonathan's a good boy. And first of all, his name's Michael, but it like got to a place where we'd always be like, Jonathan, he's a good boy. You're not taking him anywhere. And that's just like stuck in my head. So I love that scene for personal reasons. So I'm clouded by it.
Loggia can hit such like incredible intensity. Like he does the same thing in Scarface. He does it in Necessary Roughness. Like he's got this, like this level that he can get to so quickly.
And it's all his voice too. Like his face is just his face. And he's just like, yes, I love it. It's great. You know, the driving shit was all kind of boring. And then the whole arm wrestling scene at the end is great. I feel like my favorite scenes are the arm wrestling scenes. It's like the action. And I guess when the kid arm wrestles too, because that, I just think that's so funny, that scene.
Is this movie better if the whole plot? So you know how in Kingpin they're like trying to hustle their way to Reno for the tournament at the end. Is this movie better if he is just trying to hustle his way to the Vegas tourney? Like he has to get the play in. Like that's actually a genre of movie I love. Like Maverick is the same way. Like he's just trying to scratch up enough money to get this tournament at the end. Dodgeball is kind of the same way. If it's just that, if he's like, hey kid, we got a bond, but I gotta hit every truck stop in Nevada to win enough money to enter this competition so I can, you know, afford to keep you.
Yeah, because it does two things. One, it gives you the story arc of him and his son. Like you can see all how they're like growing close together and bonding. And two, it gives you more action. Also, there's no, like you said, there's no build here. It's just like, I was like half paying attention. I'm like, wait, did they even mention this tournament? I guess they mentioned it once, but it's like all of a sudden you're in this tournament. There's no like I would love to, I know there's a part you talk about sometimes if there's like a sequel, but I think it's so much more interesting. Yeah. Going around. Cause I thought the most interesting part was like all the energy and like all these tough guys in the truck stop being like, no, we're going to do this right here. And his son's like, what the fuck? And it's like, if we had that throughout the whole movie, you know, maybe the kid is like, you know, brings him to a strip club, you know, he's not old enough maybe, but I don't know. You just have a whole thing.
Stallone would like that. Yeah. I feel like when they had the premiere night of this movie, like they pack into the theater, they watch it. Most of the people who worked on this movie, like as soon as it ended, like we could have done that differently. I think we made some mistakes.
It could have been like really good. Like it's okay. I say it's better because I just have the nostalgic thing and I'm like half kidding, but it's just like, it's just so, yeah, the whole thing just feels really random.
Yeah, well, so you look at, like, it's got a 32% on Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes isn't everything, but, like, you look at, like, movies like Cliffhanger has 67%, Demolition Man has 60%, Cobra only has 18%. That's fucked
Cliffhanger,
up.
By the way, kicks ass. I saw Cliffhanger on TV, which I feel like is the only way you should watch it. I saw it on, like, TNT, and that movie's great because there's, like, a clear plot and it builds. And there's great bad guys. That's my other knock on this movie. If you want to do the, you know, how I would improve it. But I feel like there's no clear bad guy.
Yeah. Like cause who's, well, the clear bad guy is Lincoln Hawk. He's the bad guy.
Well, you think you're supposed to think, what's his name? The Bull.
Yeah. Bull Hurley. Bull kicks ass.
And Bull, you're like, okay. Like he's, you're not like, this guy's such a dick. Like I hate him. Like you don't really, you want Stallone to win, I guess, because he's Stallone. But, like, you know, you wanted Stallone to beat Ivan Drago. You're like, this guy's bad guy. Like, you wanted Stallone to beat, I don't know, the fucking guy in Cliffhanger. Like, this just, like, I'm like, oh, is he the end guy? Like, he's whatever. He had, like, 10 lines.
Yeah, I feel like you could make this movie as good as Cliffhanger. Just we'll get to that at the end. Let's take a quick ad break and get back with best quote.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so best quote. This one, this is the one of the areas where this movie actually shines because it's got some gems. What's your favorite quote in this one?
Okay, so I have it right in front of me. So the one where he's arm wrestling the kid. If I lose to this kid, I'd kill myself, which is one. I just laugh out loud because the kid is such a great bully kid, and it's so unexpected, the line. Just laugh out loud. The other one I wrote is, when Stallone, during that weird ass scene where he's talking directly to the camera, where he's talking about how he flips his hat when the switch goes. It's such
a
weird,
be a machine.
It's such a weird line. He goes, when the switch goes on, I feel like this. And he pats the truck behind him. He goes, I feel like the truck, like a machine, like machine. I'm like, what? You're like turned into a robot. It's just so weird. And I think it's great, but that's such a memorable one. People know, like, you're flipping the switch when you're turning a hat backwards. And I, as funny as that is, like, that like sticks in your brain a little. Like, if you're doing something, you have a hat on, you turn it back, you're like, all right, let's get fucking serious. Like, let's turn. And I don't know if that's from, like, that's in our subconscious from that movie, or if that's just like a thing. But like, yeah, if you're playing like anything, beer pong, wiffle ball, and just anything where you have to do something and you have a hat on and you're like, you need to like focus a little better, pop that thing around the other way.
Yeah, and that's why I wish we would have had more arm wrestling scenes before this, because we would have had a bunch of like, boom, like we would have more into that. The best line in this movie, bar none, is from Bull Hurley in one of those weird talking headshots. I drive trucks, I break arms and arm wrestle. It's what I love to do. It's what I do best. Being number one is everything. There's no second place. Second sucks.
Yeah, see, that guy is not a bad guy. That's a guy you want to root for.
Yeah, almost everything he says is great. You got no power, Hawk. You got no power.
Get in here. Come on.
Grab the shoulder.
You got no power, Hawks. You got no power.
Rubber down.
Back off, or I'm going to give you a world of hurt, little man.
And Hawk, he kind of like, I don't want to say cheats, but he gets out of the grip. I mean, I guess you're allowed. That's like part of the game. Like he's because Bull gets so pissed at him. He's like yelling at him. And then he headbutts him.
Yeah, they don't. Shout out to Bull. They don't explain like how it's possible that Hawk could beat Bull. Like he doesn't, we're led to believe that it's all this inspiration of like getting his son, but we don't understand why Hawk is such a good arm wrestler when he's like, just not like Bull's arms are as big as Stallone's torso.
Dude, it's all about the over the top method, which is hilarious. Cause he acts like it's like this thing that no one else knows about. He's like, all you got to do is go over the top. Like he tells his son that, and they say over the top like 10 times this movie.
A million times.
Almost as many times as when the announcer goes, this is a double elimination tournament at the end. He just keeps saying it. But yeah, it's like, why doesn't Bull just go over the top? Like, it doesn't everyone know about over the top? So I feel like they make it seem like if you have the will and desire and then you can just go over the top, you can do it.
It's stunning. So what is the most authentic part of this movie? What's the most realistic part of this movie for you?
Well, I don't know arm wrestling.
Same.
Obviously, I just like tried to talk about a guy slipping out of his hold, but I felt like the arm wrestling was authentic play because I think most of these guys were arm wrestlers.
Yeah, they got real arm wrestling. I mean, I always
which is
say,
good.
Like,
I love when they do that.
Cast yeah. athletes, not actors, man. Like they did it.
I feel like you see that a lot now in sports movies, like especially like football movies, probably baseball movies too. Like the gameplay has gotten so much better, and yeah. You can tell when they have. When they have like athletes playing, you're like, this is good. This looks good.
Yeah. It's like the number one thing I preach on this podcast. I want to know how they found all these arm wrestlers. Like that's before yeah. Google. It's like, where do you even dig at? Like, do you think they were scouting truck stops?
Dude, that's just like word of mouth. I feel like if you find one or two of those guys, they'll tell you. So they probably just hired an arm wrestling guy and he's like, I'm going to get 10 of my friends. And there you go. You know,
me and the boys are showing up in our 18 wheeler, just opens the back lift and out come a bunch of 300-pound arm wrestlers.
Oh, I forgot to say from the truck stop scene, the best part of that scene is when Stallone fucking rips his hat around for the first time. He like goes and he turns his hat. It's like a GIF. You can find it. It's you've seen it a million times, but it's like, that's the first time we see him arm wrestle. And that's when you really get like that shot of like, he's flipping the switch. He has a thing. We see him go over the top. So he kind of sets it up, but then it just kind of goes away for an hour.
Yeah. The huge bummer. So the least authentic one of this got to be like Stallone beating Bull. There's just no way.
I just don't see how he could beat anybody because all their arms are all huge. Like the guy he beats, I love that guy. Smasher, I think was his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like the first guy.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know, electric. I thought he was great on screen. And I was like, no way he's going to beat this guy. And I mean, obviously, guys, I'm sure it's not always just the strongest guy. You know, like it's not always the fattest guy who wins the hot dog eating competition, you know?
That's true. We've been watching Joey Chestnut dominate.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe there's something like that in arm wrestling, but you'd think they could have mixed in a guy who was around hit the same size.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's the argument against casting Don Johnson too. Is like, oh, yeah, those guys are even way bigger than Don Johnson. Like the thing that I guess helps us believe it a little more is we've been watching Stallone win fights he's been outmatched in for 10 years now coming into this movie.
Something about boxing is different though. In the sense of like, if you catch a guy, you feel like I feel like as we've all seen, whether it's a real boxing match or like a fight or something where like the smaller guy wins,
mm-hmm.
but arm wrestling just seems to be such like a bigger guy's going to win. Like you're stronger. Maybe it's just because we haven't seen that many arm wrestling matches. Maybe there are things where smaller guys win, but I feel like boxing and fighting, you have that visceral, like, well, if he just lands one, you know, David and Goliath, if they arm wrestled, I mean, David, you're out.
Yeah.
Gone. Goliath's fucking smashing your ass.
Yeah. See you, buddy.
Bye bye.
So what worked about this one that we haven't touched on yet? I mean, the name Lincoln Hawk. For
Lincoln Hawk's the best name.
Great name.
What's the grandfather's name? Cutler. Cutler is a great name.
Cutler's a great name. Although his name is Jason Cutler, which doesn't work as well. If you're just calling him Cutler, it works really well.
Cutler. Yeah, because it's kind of vague. You're like, is Cutler his first name, his last name? Is it a nickname? Does he cut people? Because what is Cutler's, what's his job?
He's got the truck. It says Cutler Trucking. So is he a trucking magnet?
Because that'd be a real dick thing if he was like a trucking kingpin and he doesn't let Lincoln. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe when he first got married to his daughter, he lets Lincoln drive a couple of, you know, 8 to 10 hour drives. And Lincoln's just, you know, driving off the road, trying to arm wrestle people. And he's like, I can't count on you. You're not good for my daughter.
You were supposed to have this delivery in fucking Silver City 3 days ago, and I heard you're in a truck stop in goddamn Tempe. Like, what are you doing?
He's like, I'm 2-0. He's like, you're fucking out of the family. Yeah, maybe that's it. So that would be I could understand if he ran the trucking company and he doesn't let, you know, Lincoln Hawk in on it. I could see there being some bad blood, but
yeah. So the kid who plays Mike. David Mendenhall. When I say kid, David Mendenhall, I looked, is over 50 now, which if you want to feel old, there you go.
Yeah.
So I think for what he is given to work with, I mean, he doesn't really act much after this, but for what he's given to work with, he's like, he's not terrible. Like, this script is ass. And they gave this kid a Razzie at 12 years old.
Oh, that's so mean.
I actually feel anti-giving child actors Razzies.
I hate, actually, when I like hate making fun of child actors. But I didn't think it was bad at all. Like was, you know, he plays him with like kind of like a wide, like, yeah, he's like a snob or whatever, but he definitely plays him with like a wide-eyed innocence where he's like, you know, he's soft. He hasn't been out in the world, and he's like, and I feel like he plays that pretty well. Like, he's vulnerable, but something about the whole movie where you're like, ah, fuck this kid. I don't know what it is. So I think he does a good job in that you're kind of supposed to be like that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
you're supposed to be like, this kid needs Lincoln Hawk.
Yeah.
Like, look at how much of a fucking, little baby boy he is.
He needs some arm wrestling toughening up.
But I thought it was fine. He didn't stand out for me. Sometimes like a kid actor is like the worst part. Oh, I fucking fascinated when kid actors. I'm like, how do you remember your lines? Like, I don't even understand what's happening.
Yeah, it's such a hard, like, I can't, like, if I was 12 years old, there's no fucking way. Like, just no chance at all. The soundtrack in this movie is amazing. It's probably the best part of this. And it's like, it's Loggins, Sammy Hagar, Eddie Money. Like, this is, I'm on a boat. I'm
Frank Stallone's in it too.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, this soundtrack is great. And I think it really carries it. Like, yeah, Kenny Loggins, obviously, three times. Sammy Hagar, like you said. I was just looking at the songs. I think that some of these songs are like, it has that cheesy 80s, that montage is cheesy, but it's also like this works to get you to the next scene. I think the music's really good. I think the music at the end is good too. During the arm wrestling things. I don't think that's Kenny Loggins, but it might be. I don't know.
Yeah. I have one thing about this movie that worked. That this is the only thing I wrote in all caps in all my notes. But this is the one, like, this is the, it's incredible. Stallone showing up to the funeral, black denim shirt.
Yes, yes. With a tie.
Jeans, a tie, no belt, drops. His son, he pops in, his son is crying, he leaves flowers, and then
as the service is like going on, yeah.
And then fucking jets.
Dude, it's so funny. I noticed that. I'm like, oh yeah. I liked how the arm wrestling tournament, it felt like a big deal, like in Vegas, but it wasn't like on TV, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of times in these movies they'll be like, oh, I'm so and so from ESPN. It's like, no. This shit ain't on ESPN.
It feels 1987. Underground.
Yeah, that's what it was. Good. I liked that.
It's got that Kumite feel.
Exactly. There's a funny scene where, like, the extras, the people in the background are like, during that whole time, anytime you see them, they're all going like, yeah. And they're like mimicking arm wrestling. It's like, all right. It felt like NBA 2K or some shit, like, where the fans are just all doing the same thing. I like that. That was cool.
I would love to go to that. What else? What else? Is there anything else that worked in this one that we haven't talked about?
I wrote Stallone is so greased up during the matches, when he's going against Bull. If you look at Bull's just like looking normal as hell, and Stallone looks like, yeah, he has like Crisco on his arms. Like, he just
Bull could use a little lotion.
Yeah. It's like, let's meet in the middle, as Kenny Loggins would say. Oh, the world. That's another another quote. The world doesn't meet you halfway, right? Still into that.
Yeah, when you want something, you gotta take it.
That's the wisdom. Yeah, like, I'm taking you from your grandfather. You know? Oh, man.
God.
Wait, I wrote one more thing that I thought worked great. Yeah, he is the bad guy. The mom dying. That's like a nitpicky one where the mom's dying. She just didn't feel like she was dying. She was like, I'm dying. I'm like, okay. All right.
No Oscars for mom.
No Oscars for mom. See, I can make fun of the mom. She's an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not taking shots at the kid, but the mom is fair game.
Yeah. What was the question? What else worked? I mean, it kind of just ends abruptly, which is hilarious. I feel like that's the only way this can end.
I mean, for unintentional comedy purposes, pretty much everything worked. I mean, if you're looking at it from an unintentional comedy standpoint, like, this movie doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah, I wish they would either make it like, well, I don't know, how long is this movie? An hour and a half? I feel like they should either made it like 45 minutes, or I know they don't make movies 45 minutes, or like 2.5 hours. Like, I want to see all
like
this
an
shit.
Epic.
I would have kept watching this if they kept it going. But maybe they'll have a sequel. I don't know.
Lawrence of Arabia, but Lincoln Hawk. So what didn't work about this? I have a question. I want to throw this to you. Stallone shows up at the military school to get him, and everyone's like, who is this guy? And it's like, he's wearing like a button down with a tie and some overalls. Like, what?
He definitely doesn't look that out of place as they're trying to make him.
Yeah. It's not like he's like a hobo.
Huh? Right. They should have actually had him get out in like a tank top, like smoking a butt, being like, well, where's Michael at? Like, you know, like they should have like really roughed him up a little. I feel like, he looked like he had his shit together.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm kind of surprised that Lincoln Hawk doesn't smoke.
I know.
It's like 87. He's driving that truck. He's got to stay awake. Like, I feel like he's a Marlboro Reds guy. I feel like Lincoln Hawk is a pack and a half a day.
Oh, he's got to be. He's got to be.
Absolutely.
So wait, when he goes to get his kid, does the wife obviously knows about it, but she doesn't tell that, like, because the grandfather sends a limo.
Yeah. So she doesn't tell the grandfather, because I think if she had told the grandfather, he would have tried to put a stop to it. Like, he would have done something. But like, he's also like, she doesn't warn the kid at all. And like, hey, here's your dad that you've never met, who's going to show up and take you home. Like, at least you're not going to prep him.
Yeah. Did he never meet him? He's like, who? Like, did he really not know who he was? I thought he was being a dick at first.
Yeah, I thought he was being a dick at first too. And then it's like, nope, he actually legitimately doesn't know that guy. But he's not nearly as bewildered by his absent father showing up as he probably should be. There's no sense of like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, I've never seen you before. It's just like, fine, sir.
Sir, yeah, I'll go with you, sir. And then he like makes fun of him right away. He's like, you ever read a book, you fucking idiot? You know? So,
well, let's talk about that. I don't have my CDL, like my commercial driver's license or whatever. Like, I can't drive an 18-wheeler, but I feel like I am a good judge of just ethics and like common sense in certain things. Like, putting a 12-year-old behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler, the most dangerous vehicle on our roads, is, and he's trying to prove he's not dumb by letting a 12-year-old drive an 18-wheeler.
Well, he's like, you need big brains, because he's like, books ain't the only thing, kid. I can drive this. Oh, dot, dot, dot. You want to try? You know? He's like,
and now you can drive this. You can, the only thing I can do that you can't do, now you can do that. And now you can drive yourself to LAX, apparently.
Right. That's a little foreshadowing right there. If you can drive that 18-wheeler, you can drive a fucking Ford Bronco or whatever he drives at the end.
That would have been sick if it was like the actual OJ Ford Bronco 7 years before OJ. A
little foreshadowing there. Yeah. Yeah. I think I love the part where he, the scene where he beats the dude, John Grizzly. Is that a real name? Where it's like, they hit it with like that. He goes like, it's like three in a row, and he puts him down. And it's, I don't know how like to describe the, like, it's almost like Stallone like goes like that, like he tries two times and then puts him down. I like kind of fist pumped there. Like, there's a couple parts where I was like, nice, yeah, good.
This movie should have either been a hardcore arm wrestling movie or a hardcore father son movie, and it meets in the middle, but you can't meet the middle. Needed to be one or the other.
Yeah. And at the end, there's no, like, it's not that there's no stakes. I mean, you see that he bet on himself, but there's no, like, there's no drama when he's facing Bolt, and they're like going back and forth for a good 30 seconds. No, and it's not like, it's like, okay, he's probably going to win, but I don't know. There wasn't like, I feel like for that to work, you got to hate Bull. You got to be like, fuck, like Bull. It should be like, if Bull wins, Bull takes the kid, like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's gotta be something, there's gotta be bigger stakes. So it's like, if Lincoln Hawk loses, oh, the kid goes back to Cutler. That's probably good.
Yeah,
like he'll get a good education now.
Yeah, yeah. As a society, we probably should have been rooting for Lincoln Hawk to lose. I'm gonna skip the Kevin Costner Freddie Prinze Jr. awards, because like, they got a bunch of real arm wrestlers, and then Stallone, you know, looks the part. The Lenny Harris Pinch Hitter Award for Best Supporting Character. I would say everyone besides Stallone and Mike would be eligible for this.
I was going to say, because who's a supporting character? Everybody is.
Yeah, pretty much. And for me, it's like, it's either Loja or Bull. They're both fucking amazing.
Yeah, Bull's great. I think Robert Loja is like more memorable though in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He just has like a bigger presence. Like, I don't know. If you were like describing this movie, I would always bring up Robert Loja. I'd be like, and the grandfather's great. He's such a dick, you know? So I feel like I would give it to him, but Bull's a good pick too. Honestly, any of the arm wrestlers are good. Maybe the kid in the coffee shop or pizza shop.
It's so interesting about Robert Loja is that, like, he's an Oscar winning actor. He was probably fairly wealthy, but like, that dude would take any fucking paycheck. Like, he will take the shit out of a paycheck. He did Like, he did Necessary Roughness, which was horrible. Like, he has done some really bad movies, but he's also won an Oscar. And like, Ben, he did Scarface, and he's like been in a, he did Big. Like, I think he did Big year after this.
I feel like people always wonder, like, why is Robert Loggia in all, like they said, I think about De Niro too. He does like weird ass movies. I think it's just so hard to like become an actor. And if you struggle for like 10 years or whatever, and then when people want you to work, I feel like it's like, yeah, let's just do it. Why would I not say no to anything?
Yeah. I mean, it's
probably
fun
too.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably why, like, literally anyone asks me to be on a podcast, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'll talk on your
it's
podcast.
Like, why not? Cause people are like, oh, why is De Niro doing this stupid grandpa movie? It's like, I don't know. The guy's like 70, probably just wants to do something.
Probably just wants to work, just like his character in The Intern, which is actually a lovely movie. The Big Chill. I would say the only time you can get it is either when he turns his hat around for the first time or the last arm wrestling scene. But this, I don't think I'm invested enough to get the chills in this one.
It didn't get like the real chills, but a little bit of like, oh, like you start to get that nostalgia. Like, ooh, what's this happening in my body? Is honestly when Kenny Loggins starts playing, when him and his son, like, do that first montage together. I mean, it goes away quickly, but when that started, I was like, oh yeah, nice. I think that's more about me though. You know, you're just relating it to yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, Loggins back in the old days, even though I didn't listen to Kenny Loggins back in the old days. But
it's funny. Yeah. I didn't listen to Kenny Loggins until like I reached like my late 20s. And then I'm like, man, Kenny Loggins kind of fucking rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that's the closest one for me. Like the end, there wasn't like a triumph for me. It wasn't like when he, you know, to go to Rocky IV, when he cuts the Russian, like, whoa, yeah. Like there was no like Friday Night Lights moment. It just was like pretty bland. But yeah, that middle part where Kenny Loggins is playing and him and his son are bonding for like 6 seconds, that almost got me. And then when he flips his hat, I feel like that's a different moment. That's just like, that's like where you grab the person next to you, like, oh, look at this shit. Like, it's more like, this is fun. Like, and that's what it should have been. It should have been a little more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie took itself so seriously, which is unfortunate.
I think that was the problem. Yeah.
Let's combine the last two categories, the how to improve it and the before more restore. Cause I feel like a remake of this one. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think this movie is successful enough. It's not one of those like 80s movies where it's like, hey, we got some IP. Let's roll this out. We'll make some money. It's not like Red Dawn, but
right.
I feel like for improving it, it's like, where the fuck do we start? But like, you could basically, if you do exactly what we were talking about, like make it like, let's do a bunch of arm wrestling and he's bonding with the son at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great, I feel like if you did a sequel, like a remake, obviously, but I feel like if you try to do like an over the top two or something, like let's say the years were closer because Stallone's too old, right? I mean, maybe not. Maybe there's all those movies. But it's like when you do a sequel, you either go like you make the stakes higher, right? Like Mighty Ducks 2, they're in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Or you like make the stakes lower. Like same thing, Mighty Ducks 3, they're like in prep school. So it's like, I feel like this movie, you got to go back and make the stakes lower. Like you have to go, you make it so it's like you said, like on the road, you make it where it's like all these little tournaments across the country. And there's something at the end. I don't know what that is, but you know, you find out and maybe he doesn't even win. But the whole point is, to bond him and his son.
Or you go the opposite way and they've added arm wrestling to the Olympics. Him and Mike have drifted off. Like they've gone their separate, like him and Mike aren't close anymore. They've had a falling out because, you know, Lincoln abandoned him for the first 12 years of his life. And somehow that didn't work out. And so he's like, I got to win the first gold medal in South Korea to win Mike's affection back, like to show him that I love him. And it's him prepping for the Olympics.
That's pretty good. Or it could be the Olympic. He could be the coach of the Olympics if he's too old.
Stallone is an Olympic arm wrestling coach. It'd be like his character from Creed, but as an Olympic arm wrestling coach.
They're like, I don't need a coach. Like I know how, and then he loses one match. And then they're like, we got to get a guy. He's like, I know a secret method, but you can't just, you know, you have to, it's in your heart. It's more like Miyagi, you know, you gotta figure it out from here. The Olympics would be nice. That would be good. Arm wrestling. I feel like arm wrestling should be in the Olympics.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that would kind of make some sense. Like, yeah. Oh, let's, let's make sure we're not impugning Olympic arm wrestlers. I don't think it's in
the I feel like I would have seen that.
Is arm wrestling in the Olympics?
I think they used to show arm wrestling more on TV, and I think they should get back to it because I do like watching it.
No. Just fitness and bodybuilding, jujitsu. Oh, wait. Nope. Not in the Olympics. Has never been involved in the Olympics. Well, maybe this is the time. Maybe it's,
you know, you should look up. I think I'm going to start looking up. I'm sure they have local arm wrestling events. I'm going to ask my friend. I'm going to go to one. I wouldn't mind going to one. That's crazy.
That seems like a great time. I'd be all in on that.
Especially if it's like a restaurant, you go have a nice little meal, have a couple beers, and I'll walk into the back room and see guys flipping their hat, flipping their switch.
And I mean, you live in Boston. So a Boston arm wrestling backroom. I mean, it's literally like all the extras from the town just
everyone
breaking just elbows.
Oh God, it would be great. Maybe there's something there, you know.
You need to make.
Oh
that
yeah,
happen.
That's the other thing. I feel like I heard a story, or maybe I watched a video of like someone getting their arm broken once, and now I'm always like, I hope no one's arm breaks. Yeah. I feel like I'm like that with like anytime I see someone like a weightlifting video. When I was younger, I saw someone like their leg give out during squats. And now if I ever see anybody squatting, I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, they're just squat. Like, I don't know. So I don't care. I don't want.
Yeah. I bet there have been some gnarly arm wrestling injuries. Ooh. But Mike, this was an absolute pleasure. This movie is just something else. I am very glad that you've returned to the podcast. We need to get together sooner for the next one. Tell the folks again where they can follow you, where they can check out 60 Second Classics.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at mcameralingo. On Instagram at 60 Second Classics, and or you can go to 60secondclassics.com. Thanks for having me. This movie is probably not pretty good. It's not very good, but I did like it. So I feel like a lot of the movies I make videos of, like, are they good? I don't know, but I like it, and I don't know how to describe that feeling. Like,
I have spent my time on many worse movies when I've done this podcast. Like, it's not
a bad movie that aren't enjoyable, and then a bad movie that is. And I feel like this is a bad movie that is. Rookie of the Year is a bad movie that's not enjoyable.
Yeah, that was a slog to watch. Like, I would watch this again, hands down.
Yeah, yeah.
Unintentional Comedy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah. Well, thank you for giving me a chance or a reason to rewatch it.
Absolutely, man. And if you enjoyed this episode of Big Screen Sports, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate and leave a review if you're on Apple Podcast. We will be back next Monday with our October Patrons Choice episode. So tune in for that. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/bigscreensports. Thanks for listening.